We are very fortunate to have His Grace Krishna Charan Das, Krishnachan Das Prabhuji on the call today to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Verse 4.8.25. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for joining the call today and giving your valuable appreciation. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I was told to speak on 4.8.25 and 26. Is that correct?
Yeah, okay.
So, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text Number 25. I'll just read the verse and then translation and purport. And then we'll go to 26. And then again I'll read the verse and translation and purport and then we can discuss on that. Naradastad upakarnya jnatva tasya chikirshitam Sprishtva Murdhani Agaghnena Panina Prahavismitaha. The great sage Narada overheard this news, and understanding all the activities of Dhruva Maharaj, he was struck with wonder. He approached Dhruva and touching the boy's head with his all virtuous hand, he spoke as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Dhruva Maharaj was talking with his mother, Suniti, all the incidents that had taken place in the palace, Narada was not present. Thus the question may be raised, how Narada overheard all these topics? The answer is that Narada is Trikalagnya. He is so powerful that he can understand the past, future and present of everyone's heart, just like the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, after understanding the strong determination of Dhruva Maharaj, Narada came to help him. It may be explained in this way. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart, and as soon as he understands that a living entity is serious about entering devotional service, he sends his representative. In this way, Narada was sent to Dhruva Maharaj. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. By the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, one can enter into devotional service. Because of Dhruva Maharaj's determination, Krishna, the super soul, immediately sent his representative, Narada, to initiate him. Okay, so that is 25. And 26 also we are going to cover today. I'll read again the verse. Aho teja kshatriyanam manabhangam amrishyatam Balopyayam hridadhatte yat samatur asadvachaha. Translation: how wonderful are the powerful Kshatriyas! They cannot tolerate even a slight infringement upon their prestige. Just imagine, this boy is only a small child, yet harsh words from his stepmother proved unbearable to him. Purport. The qualifications of the Kshatriyas are described in Bhagavad Gita. Two important qualifications are to have a sense of prestige and not to flee from battle. It appears that the Kshatriya blood within the body of Dhruva Maharaj was naturally very active. If the Brahmanical, Kshatriya or Vaishya culture is maintained in a family, naturally the sons and grandsons inherit the spirit of that particular class. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, the samskara or the reformatory system is maintained very rigidly. If one fails to observe the reformatory measures current in the family, one is immediately degraded to a lower standard of life. ओम ज्ञान तिम्रांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति सुपदान्तिकं नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् नित्यनामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो आई थैंक श्यामा गौरी माताजी एंड अदर्स फॉर गिविंग मी दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू शेयर my thoughts on Srimad Bhagavatam to talk about Lord Krishna. So thank you very much for giving us this service. So here the narration is about Dhruva Maharaj. It's very interesting because how Narada Muni, he is appreciating Dhruva Maharaj. Every preacher has an appreciation, should have an appreciation for the audience he is preaching. Sometimes we see that when we preach, if we have the attitude that, a negative attitude about the people whom we are preaching to, then we cannot preach effectively. So if we think that, oh, these people are dumb, these people are not sincere and so on, then we cannot really feel compassion. So therefore, it's important to have appreciation for the people whom we are preaching to. Narada Muni has appreciation for Dhruva Maharaj. So besides that, Srila Prabhupada makes very beautiful points in the purport. Prabhupada says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead inspires the Guru to help the prospective. The Shloka says, Narada's tat upakarnya. Means that Narada Muni overheard about Dhruva Maharaj, about the incidents that happened with Dhruva Maharaj. It was not very long. So Dhruva Maharaj just met his mother Sunidhi. Sunidhi had instructed Dhruva Maharaj to go to the forest and, you know, to meditate on the Supreme Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj leaves home. And this news went to Narada Muni. And it doesn't say exactly who told Narada Muni about this, that ultimately the Paramatma has inspired Narada Muni. But whether this inspiration came directly from the Super Soul or through somebody else, that we do not know. However, in either case, the main point is that if someone is interested to practice Krishna consciousness, then Krishna sends the Guru, Krishna sends the spiritual master to help and guide that person. So this we have seen time and time again. Even within our movement, we have seen that so many individuals were brought to Srila Prabhupada. It was all by the divine arrangement of Krishna. So from one point of view, we can say that, you know, how the Hare Krishna movement has spread, can be analyzed in a material way, saying the hippies they did not have any shelter and they did not find any alternative. They were looking for alternative lifestyle, but when Srila Prabhupada presented that alternative lifestyle, they were attracted. And we should also, we also seen how Srila Prabhupada is helped by many, you know, many famous individuals like the Beatles, for example. The Beatles also helped Srila Prabhupada spread the movement. And then there were many other personalities who also, like Allen Ginsberg, you know, and Alfred Ford, who is the Amrish Prabhu. And then there are so many, you know, people who have contributed and helped Srila Prabhupada spread the movement. Now one can say, one can analyze it in a material way, that Srila Prabhupada actually came to the USA at the right time, you know, when the counterculture was happening, and therefore Srila Prabhupada obviously took advantage of that counterculture. However, it is just a superficial understanding. The real understanding or the deeper understanding would be to see how Krishna is ultimately arranging everything for Srila Prabhupada. To be able to see how Krishna is actually sending the guru to the disciple and the disciples to the guru. So that one needs to be able to see. It is said that without Krishna's intervention, one can never meet a pure Vaishnava. The darshan of a pure Vaishnava never happens by chance. Or interaction, the association of a pure devotee or the spiritual master is always arranged by Krishna. It's never a chance event. So, that we understand from the scriptures. So, that, you know, ultimately either Krishna may directly inspire from the, you know, from the heart as Paramatma, he may directly inspire the disciple to go and meet the spiritual master, or in some other cases he may inspire through somebody else. Like Srila Prabhupada said how one of his friends, he had brought him to his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He never wanted to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But one of his friends, he actually, you know, forced Srila Prabhupada to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So sometimes Krishna may act directly from within the heart, or he may send someone, or he may help through somebody else. But in either case, Krishna is actually helping, you know, he's arranging the meeting between the prospective guru and disciple based on their sincerity, based on the sincerity of the disciple and the purity of the spiritual master. If the spiritual master is pure, then Krishna sends the sincere souls to him. And similarly, if the disciple is sincere, then Krishna sends the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, to such a sincere soul. So we can see that, you know, every event that happened in the early days of ISKCON, you know, how Srila Prabhupada spread this mission, there are several books that came out, you know, recently also. Like, there is this book by Shyamasundar Prabhu, Chasing Rhinos. And then there are several other books on how Srila Prabhupada had initially, you know, inspired his disciples to spread Krishna consciousness. And if we read those events, it may appear that, you know, these are just miracles, how this happened. But actually, if we look deeper, we can see how Krishna is personally acting, you know. And because everything that happened was so miraculous that it couldn't happen by chance. How Shyamasundar Prabhu met George Harrison and all, these things don't happen by chance, you know. So the point is that, yes, Krishna's hand is there. And that we should be able to see. Devotee will be able to see. And we also see, not only during Srila Prabhupada's Leelas, but we see even today, there are several examples of how people got Srila Prabhupada's books at a very, you know, surprising, in a very surprising manner. Somebody wants to commit suicide, you know. There is an instance of one person who wanted to commit suicide. And, you know, the way he wanted to do that is he connected the exhaust pipe of the car you know, and the in such a way that the smoke of the exhaust pipe would come inside the car. And then he started the engine, closed all the windows, and you know, he wanted to just inhale all the smoke and then commit suicide in that way. So as he closed the windows and he was just about to, you know, start the process of committing suicide, a devotee was passing by that way, and then he saw this happening, and then he puts this book called Coming Back, you know, right on the windshield, you know, in front of the person. As soon as he is coming back, he becomes curious, maybe I'll have to come back after I die. So then he opens the car and reads the book and becomes a devotee. You know, and in this there are several examples. So these show that how Krishna is actually, you know, arranging for the spiritual master to meet the disciple. So we can rest assured that, you know, if we are sincere, then guidance will always come. Even within our Krishna conscious life, many times we may become, you know, we may be doubtful whether, you know, whether my problems can be solved or not, whether, you know, how I can, you know, tackle all the difficulties that I'm facing, whether I'll get the right guidance or not. But we can rest assured that we will get the right guidance if we are sincere, right? That means if we really want that guidance. So, yes, so in this case we have seen how Krishna sent Narada to Dhruva Maharaj, and we also see several other such examples in the scriptures also. How Parikshit Maharaj also wanted to die, and he wanted to end his body, and he was looking for a spiritual master. At the right time, Krishna sent Sukadeva Goswami. And this reminds me of another example of one devotee, one leader of ISKCON. You know, he was attracted to Krishna. He came from the west. He was attracted to Krishna. But he was not sure how exactly to become a devotee. And by Krishna's arrangement, you know, he ends up meeting Srila Prabhupada and hearing Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, Prabhupada gives him special attention. And eventually he ends up becoming a devotee. And so in this way there are several such examples. So, and then Prabhupada also mentions about samskaras. You know, in the next verse, Prabhupada says that in Dhruva Maharaj, the Kshatriya blood seems to be very prominent. Prabhupada says that Narad Muni was surprised that Dhruva Maharaj could not tolerate even a small insult. And that is one of the symptoms of a Kshatriya. Prabhupada writes in the purport that one of the important symptoms of a Kshatriya is that their sense of self-prestige. So they cannot tolerate insults. Kshatriyas can never tolerate insults. And the second quality, Prabhupada says, is that they do not flee from the battle. They never show their back to the enemy. These are the two, there are several other qualities, but these are two most important qualities of Kshatriya. So Narad Muni was surprised by seeing this quality. And he was fascinated by, you know, this quality. He was appreciative. So so here Prabhupada writes about blood, you know, the qualities coming through blood. Generally, most of the times we hear Prabhupada only talking about, you know, guna karma vibhagasha. That means one becomes a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or shudra based on his qualities, guna and karma. He very clearly, very clear terms, Prabhupada always condemned the caste system. Means, you know, by birthright someone becomes a Brahmin or a Kshatriya. Prabhupada always condemned that. But here we see that Prabhupada is saying that yes, certain qualities can come through blood also. However, that is not the only consideration. That only creates a favorable atmosphere. Samskaras create favorable atmosphere. Prabhupada writes again in the same purport that the Brahminical, Kshatriya or Vaishya culture is maintained, then the sons or grandsons inherit the spirit of that particular class. Prabhupada. So the samskaras being, you know, like being maintained, that means if the culture is maintained in the family, then that creates a very favorable atmosphere for the descendants, for the children. It creates a favorable atmosphere where it becomes much, much easier for the children to develop those qualities. So in that way, the parents are creating a very conducive atmosphere for the children to develop certain good qualities of that particular varna or class. Right? But however, that does not guarantee that the child will actually pick up those qualities, because it's ultimately up to the free will, how the child uses his or her free will, you know, to either accept those, accept that, you know, that culture or not. Right? However, the blood, you know, carries certain samskaras. Also, right. The Prabhupada also gave credit to his father, that how his father was actually, you know, created the favorable atmosphere, you know, and taught him, you know, about worship of Krishna right from childhood. Right. So therefore, yes, there are qualities that come through the blood also. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also, another example is given, that of Maharaj Vena. Vena Maharaj was, you know, born of the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj. In the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj, one of the kings was Anga, and Anga was a great devotee. He was a Kshatriya, and his son was Maharaj Vena. Although Anga was a devotee of the Lord, his son Vena was a tyrant. He was very tyrannical, he was very cruel, and he declared himself to be God. He forbade people to worship the Supreme Personality of God. So Anga became, you know, a demon, basically. However, when Anga actually refused to, you know, change, the Brahmanas actually came to King Anga, Vena. Brahmanas advised King Vena to actually change his ways and accept the Supreme Personality of God. But Vena declared that, no, who is God? I am God, because I am the king. The king is a representative of God, so you should worship me as God. All the sacrifices to be done for my pleasure. So in this way, King Vena, you know, disregarded the Brahmana, the advice of the Brahmana. So therefore, the Brahmanas cursed him. And by the power of their curse, they actually killed him. Now here is an interesting point, that even though, you know, King Vena, he was a demon and he was killed. But then after that, there was no king because Vena died. So therefore, you know, then they needed a king to make sure that, you know, there is proper administration. So they could have selected someone else to be the king. However, they actually, it is explained in Bhagavatam that the sages, they churned the body of King Vena to produce a son who would be competent to rule the kingdom. And that son was Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj actually came from the body of King Vena. But then the question may come that how an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is Maharaj Prithu, how such a person can appear from the body of a demon or an atheist like King Vena. And another question is why the sages had to produce Prithu from the body of Veena only? They could have selected some other competent king. Why did they have to, you know, resort to this means? The answer is, Prabhupada writes, that although King Veena was a demon, he was an atheist, but the blood running in his body was pure, Prabhupada writes. He says that because Veena was a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj, of great Rajarshis, so the samskaras or the good qualities of those Rajarshis, right from Dhruva Maharaj, they were present in the blood of Veena Maharaj. Although Veena himself was bad, but his blood was pure. So therefore, it had the capacity to produce a king like Prithu Maharaj. Right. So yes, it definitely creates, you know, the samskaras found by the parents definitely creates a very favorable atmosphere for the children. So therefore, it is, the samskaras are very important. Prabhupada emphasizes that point in the purport, saying that samskaras are very, very important. The samskaras are very, very important. He says, I'll just read the sentence. By the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, one can enter into devotional service. Sorry, just one. So, according to the Vedic system, the samskara or reformatory system is maintained very rigidly. If one fails to observe the reformatory measures current in the family, one is immediately degraded to a lower standard of life. So therefore, according to the Vedic system, the samskara is maintained very rigidly. So yes, the samskaras. And what are the samskaras? Samskaras are not just certain ceremonies. Yes, there are 10 major samskaras. Like beginning from, you know, Garbhadan Samskar, and then Jatakarma, and then Namkarma. There are several samskaras, including Vivaha Samskara, Upanayan Samskara, and then the samskara after death also. So the samskaras begin before birth, and they continue even after the death of the person. So these are certain rituals, there are certain ceremonies, but actually it's samskaras are not just about rituals and ceremonies. Samskaras actually basically means purification. That means it involves a certain act of devotional service, a particular process of, you know, performing devotional service in order to purify one's consciousness, one's existence. So it's basically for purification. Like for example, Srila Prabhupada told that for ISKCON devotees, the Garbhadhana Samskara includes chanting extra rounds. Prabhupada recommended that the couple, they chant 50 rounds on the day when they want to copulate. So basically, so the point is that creates a certain purification. It attracts a pure soul. And even after birth, when the samskaras are properly performed, then that actually creates a very pure atmosphere. And for Krishna conscious devotees, you know, every day, their daily sadhana itself is a samskara, basically. Our daily sadhana also includes purification. And that purification helps the child, you know, in becoming a very competent, personality, whether as a leader or as a devotee, basically. So the point is that the samskaras need to be performed and for devotees, Srila Prabhupada gave the guidelines of how to perform these samskaras. And the most important things that the devotees need to do is to follow the basic instructions of Srila Prabhupada, including chanting 15 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra minimum, following the four regulative principles, and then staying away from bad association, like, you know, like the media, movies, or, you know, watching TV. These are all bad influences. So, Prabhupada told us that ISKCON devotees do not watch TV, unless, of course, there is a Krishna conscious program. So, in this way, you know, following these principles, reading Srila Prabhupada's books every day, hearing lectures, hearing Krishna Katha, and rendering devotional service. So this actually creates a very, very powerful and purifying influence on the children. So therefore, this is very important. And there are several other examples to illustrate this point. In the Srimad Bhagavatam again, we see recently we celebrated Vaman Dwadashi, the appearance day of Vaman Dev. And so Vaman Dev actually, you know, he delivered Bali Maharaj basically. So Bali Maharaj, he was the descendant of Hiranyakashipu. But he was also a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. He was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj and great-grandson of Hiranyakashipu. So because of this, he had influence of both. Right? Bali Maharaj had the influence of Hiranyakashipu, so he was very, very ambitious. Like Hiranyakashipu. So he overthrew Indra. But then he also had the devotion of Prahlad Maharaj. So, you know, although being influenced by his wrong samskaras or his demoniac samskaras, he actually decided to overthrow, you know, Indra. And, you know, because of that, he had to be punished by Vaman Dev, because the Lord never tolerates his devotees, you know, violating the system created by him. So a devotee never goes against the system created by the Supreme Lord. So the Lord created the system that, you know, Indra is going to be the king of heaven and he is going to be the administrator. But then by going against that plan and by fighting against Indra, you know, Bali Maharaj actually, he violated the system of Krishna.
And
that was his ambitious nature. However, when the Lord actually punished him by, you know, taking away all his assets, you know, all his property, everything, including his own body, in three steps, Vaman Dev had taken, you know, not only his entire kingdom, but even his body, everything. So when he had taken everything and thus he was punished, you know, he was purified by that punishment. But still he remained grateful to the Lord, and his devotion, his surrender to the Lord actually at that time, you know, came forth. And, you know, because of the samskaras that came from Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather. So when he fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord, again he received the mercy of the Lord. So therefore, every one of us, we have a combination of all good and bad samskaras. We are not entirely made of only good or bad samskaras. We have a combination of both. So, you know, by the process of devotional service, we can actually purify the bad samskaras, we can purify our anarthas, and at the same time, we can increase the good qualities, the spiritual qualities. So, if we, you know, by the process of devotional service, sometimes, you know, if we are very sincere, then yes, we can be purified. However, if we are not sincere enough, I would say, then in that case, the Lord may have to intervene. He may have to arrange a situation where that purification may come, you know, in a different way. That means in the form of punishment. So if we
if we hear Krishna Katha and we are serious in our devotional practices, then that purification happens naturally. However, if there is a lacking in our bhakti, if there is a lacking in our sadhana and sincerity of devotional service, then sometimes Krishna may have to arrange a situation where we may be forced to, you know, come to, you know, our senses, or basically we may be forced to face the reality. Right? Like in the case of Bali Maharaj, he was forced to be humble. Then he surrendered. But the good quality of Bali Maharaj is when he was punished by the Lord, then he accepted it with a grateful heart. He didn't resist. So similarly, you know, whatever lacking is there in our devotional service, you know, Krishna may arrange different situations for us to get purified, you know, to fill that gap. However, we have to accept that situation with a grateful heart, you know, without resisting, without complaining. So in that way, you know, we get the mercy of the Lord. Yeah, so the point is that here again, we can see that the samskaras had an influence even on Bali Maharaj. However, although the samskaras had an influence, both he had both negative and positive samskaras. Eventually, by his free will, he chose to give up the bad samskaras and to accept the good ones. By his free will, he chose to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in our lives, yes, our impressions from childhood and even from our past life, they may have a great influence on us right now. Yes, they do have a great influence. Our upbringing, you know, our past karma, all these things have a tremendous influence on what we are today. However, still we have the free will, you know, we still have the free will to choose whether to act according to our bad samskaras, which are in our minds, or to act according to the good samskaras that we've got by devotional service. Yes, we have both, but the choice is still with us, what we want to do or which influence we want to accept. So, this is the lesson that we learn from Bali Maharaj's story, Vamandev's story. That we accept those samskaras that are good. So here in this case we see how Dhruv Maharaj was very strongly influenced by the Kshatriya qualities that he inherited. You know. And although Narad Muni, as we are going to see in the future verses, Narad Muni, you know, basically tests Dhruv Maharaj and asks him to go back to home, and he's still very rigid on his determination. Right. So yes, the qualities that are, you know, coming from, you know, the Varnashrama system are also very, very favorable. That's why here we can see how Narad Muni is actually appreciating. Although actually according to pure devotional standards, according to the standard of pure devotional service, this is not the standard, obviously. A devotee never wants to take revenge. A devotee is always forgiving. He doesn't mind. You know, he is not about taking revenge. So, but still, Narad Muni is actually greatly appreciating the qualities of Dhruva Maharaj. Although his whole motivation, his whole consciousness was actually to, you know, acquire a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, basically. But still, Narad Muni is appreciating. He is saying, Aho teja kshatriyanam manabhangam amrishyatam balopyayam hrida dhatte yat samatur asadvachah. So even the varnashrama, the qualities of the varnashrama system, varnashrama dharma, they are also very, very conducive to devotional service. So, Varnashrama system therefore is very favorable for the execution of devotional service. So we can see that. So however the most important consideration of course is the free will. The most important consideration for executing devotional service is one's own free will, one's own sincerity. However, the secondary consideration is one's association or one's samskaras, because they have a great deal of influence on one's consciousness. The most important consideration, the first consideration is one's free will, and the second consideration is the association. So sometimes we see that even in a very very contaminating situation, if one is very very sincere, exceptionally sincere, then that person may end up doing devotional service. And Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, we find the example of Pingala the prostitute. The prostitute named Pingala, it is explained by the Avadhut Brahman that this Pingala, this prostitute, she was actually doing her profession basically. She was trying to attract her customers. She was standing outside her house all night. You know, obviously she was not in a very good association. She didn't have the best association, I think. However, somehow, we don't know how, but she somehow got the inspiration from her own heart that what am I doing? I'm just wasting my time with the hope that some you know person will be attracted by me and give me some wealth. But instead, if I would have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the same eagerness, how much happier I would have been. So I don't know exactly, there's no description of how exactly she got that realization. That was inspired by Paramatma. So it's a matter of her sincerity. So at that moment, she immediately, you know, gave up all her anxiety and she completely took shelter of the Supreme Lord within her heart. And she became very peaceful. So this example comes in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the point is that she is not having the best of association. She is obviously also not having the best of samskaras. But somehow the free will acted, you know, or she was able to use her free will to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. So, yes, the first consideration is free will. And on the other hand, even if someone has the best of association, he may not choose to, you know, surrender to Krishna. We have that kind of examples also. Even within our movement, we see there are so many individuals who had the best of upbringing, best parents and everything, but still somehow they do not end up becoming, or they do not really take up Krishna consciousness so sincerely. So the point is that yes, ultimately it's the free will as the first consideration. However, how we utilize that free will, you know, is ultimately up to us, but at the same time, a favorable environment can be created by one's samskaras or association. So a favorable or unfavorable environment can be created. But for most of us, for most people, a favorable environment is very much required. For most people, one cannot become sincere without that favorable environment. For people in general, yes, if we have a good association, if we have a good surrounding, then we can easily perform devotional service. And if we do not have, or if we do not have such good surroundings or association, then it becomes very hard for us to perform devotional service. That is the case for most people, right? So therefore, yes, Prabhupada always emphasized on having or staying in the association of devotees, associating with devotees as much as possible. So because one of the six symptoms of surrender is to accept things favorable, anukulya sankalpa, and to reject things unfavorable to devotion, pratikulya sevarjanam. So that's what we do. So the samskaras create a favorable atmosphere. So therefore we do that. We do those samskaras. we create that association and that atmosphere so that it becomes much, much easier for us to perform the work. However, that itself will never guarantee that somebody will become a devotee, because ultimately it's a function of free will. So therefore, Bhagavad Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma. So Bhagavad Dharma is a function of our free will, whereas Varnashrama Dharma is a function of the samskaras. Bhagavad Dharma means bhakti. So that can only arise from one's free will. But Varnashrama Dharma, the proper functions of the Varnas and Ashramas, that will create a very favorable and fertile ground where that seed of bhakti can fructify. But Varnashrama Dharma itself cannot create that sincerity or the desire to serve Krishna, or to surrender to Krishna. That bhakti cannot be a product of simply by Varnashrama Dharma, but it can create a fertile ground. But the ultimate thing that takes us back to Godhead is Bhagavad Dharma. Therefore, Prabhupada always emphasized on Bhagavad Dharma. That means hearing and chanting, associating with devotees, that is Bhagavad Dharma. However, in order to sustain and effectively propagate that Bhagavad Dharma, a fertile ground of Varnashrama Dharma is required, and that is very, very favorable. So we can see that. Therefore, Krishna always, in the Bhagavad Gita several times, Krishna addresses Arjuna as Kuru Nandana, Bharata, Pandava, and so on. Because the samskara plays such a very vital influence, which cannot be negated. Only in a very, very exceptional case, an extremely rare and exceptional case, one becomes a pure devotee, or one becomes a devotee, without any favorable atmosphere, without the need for any favorable atmosphere. But in most cases, yes, that atmosphere is required. And that is where Varnashrama Dharma comes into play. And since now Varnashrama Dharma is lost, therefore it is becoming harder and harder to perform devotional service. As when Varnashrama Dharma was intact, it was very natural to perform devotional service. Now it becomes such a hard struggle. And as time passes by, it becomes harder and harder. So therefore Prabhupada also wanted to establish Varnashrama so that becomes the proper platform or ground from where pure devotional service can be cultivated. So these are some of the thoughts that wanted to share from these verses. So therefore we have to be very careful to perform our prescribed duties according to our particular ashrama, according to our particular varna, and as taught by our superiors. But at the same time, we should not be stuck over there. We should know that the ultimate goal is to perform pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is the ultimate purpose of Varnashrama Dharma. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. Otherwise, as Bhagavatam says, if dharma swanishtita kum sam, vishvaksena katha suyaha, notpadaye jidritim, srama eva hi kevalam. If one perfectly performs Varnashrama Dharma, but he does not develop taste for hearing Krishna Katha, then that performance is simply useless. It is just a useless labor. So therefore, it is very important to know the purpose. The purpose should be very clear. The purpose is not to become a Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am not a Brahmana, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Sannyasi. That's not the purpose. The purpose is nothing but Gopi Bhartu Padakamali or Dasa Dasa. We are simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. That is the ultimate goal. That is the only goal, actually. However, if you want to really achieve that goal, whatever is favorable, that has to be accepted. Since this Varnashrama Dharma is, can be a favorable atmosphere, and that can help cultivate and propagate that principle of must be. Therefore, we accept. So I'll stop there. And I'm sorry. Just one more point. So this particular, as we can see in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj had the spirit of Kshatriya. Eventually, that helped him also attain pure devotional service. How? Because he was determined to follow the instructions of his mother Suniti and the instructions of Narad Muni, spiritual master. So his determination was in that way used in Krishna's service. And eventually he became a pure devotee. Has its effect. Therefore, that's why Narad Muni is appreciating that quality of being a Kshatriya. I'll stop here. Any other questions? Questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, good evening.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandas Pranam. No questions. Thank you very much for a very wonderful lecture. It was very instructive. Hare Krishna. This is Samodhana Das from Kulika Dishanoi.
Hare Krishna, I can barely hear. Anyone?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, this is Damodaranand Das from Bloomington, Illinois.
Okay.
Thank you very much for a very nice, instructive lecture. It was very, very, very enlightening. Thank you very much for your time and your service. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandas Panam to you. Thank you very much for a very excellent class. Your association. Hello.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, I have a question. You said like Varnashrama Dharma should be followed, but nowadays, how is it possible in this modern age, Prabhuji?
Okay, that's a very nice question. Well, Varnashrama Dharma, although it is not in its original form, we still have Varnashrama Dharma, right? Because we still have like the four Varnas, although not exactly in its original form. But then we have someone who is an administrator, as Prabhupada points out, it can never be destroyed because it is created by Krishna. Someone is an intellectual person, someone is an administrator, someone is a businessman, and regarding ashramas, someone is a brahmachari, that means, he is a celibate student, and someone is a grihastha, and someone is a sannyasi, someone is a vanaprastha. So these things are still there. It can never be destroyed, although it can be distorted. But it cannot really be destroyed. And moreover, yes, Varnashrama Dharma includes several other dharmas also. Like there is a dharma of being a parent. There is a dharma of being a son or a daughter. There is a dharma of being a wife or a husband. Right? There is a dharma of being a teacher. There is a dharma of being a student. There is a dharma of being a friend. There is a dharma of being a servant. There is a dharma of being a master. So every particular role that we have has the dharma of being a leader. So every particular role that we may be playing, everyone has a particular role in relation to other people. And all that actually really falls under Varnashrama Dharma only. So when we are talking about Varnashrama Dharma, we are not just talking about, Vedic model exactly. Of course, Vedic Varnashrama Dharma is the, original form. It was practiced. But yes, even today we still have those dharmas. Everyone has dharmas. Right? So we all have our particular duties towards society, towards our family, towards So all this comes under Varnashrama Dharma basically. And the Vedas have a stipulation. If you read Shanti Parva of Mahabharata, there Bhishma Dev is actually explaining different dharmas to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And they do apply even today. You know, we still have duties. We cannot say that we have no duties towards anyone. So then those duties are actually part of Varnashram Dharma. Right. So yes, that can never be completely destroyed, although it has been distorted to some degree. Eventually our hope is that we'll be able to revive it in its original form. But even if it's not in its original form, still it is there. Certain things have changed, but the principle still remains.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji. You explained well. I understood now the relation between the things.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for the very beautiful class, very, very clear. I just had one question about the Varnashrama Dharma. So when we say that it's distorted now, but it can be set right. So if we try to artificially put something in place, do you think it will be sustainable? Because we already see that it's distorted, and then when we try to set it right, we may really not put it in the right perspective. Like, how can you artificially put the system into place? So, can you just throw some light on that?
Everything happens in an organic manner. It's not an artificial manner. It's like the modern civilization with system matter.
We are not audible, Chaturvedi.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Voice is not clear.
I'm audible. Okay. So, I'm not sure.
May I request everyone, can you please all put your phone on mute so that we can hear Prabhuji clearly?
Is my voice audible? Is it clear now?
No, Prabhuji.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare. I see my diagram.
Prabhuji, not able to hear you. It's too much disturbance.
Prabhu, I think it's more of the internet problem or connectivity problem. Your voice is breaking apart. Maybe if you disconnect and log in again, it will become clear.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.
Hare
Krishna. We lost connection.
Vaishnav Mataji, are you there on the call?
I'm there on
the... Yeah, Mataji, can you please connect Prabhuji? His number is there on second group, other group. Thank you.
Ishwari Mataji, can you text me the number?
Wait, Mataji. Give me a second. Okay, now I can connect him. Let me connect him. I think there is no connectivity to Prabhuji's phone.
Band hai. Trip.
It's okay, Mataji. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I think Prabhuji doesn't have connectivity. His phone is not under range.
Okay.
Some problem in internet.
Yeah. So should we end the call? Or?
Shyamagari Mataji, are you there on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I am here. But I texted Prabhuji. He's not here. But I don't know. He is not able to reconnect.
Yeah, I don't know. Even I tried to message him. I think there is some connectivity issues.
Okay. Should we end now then?
Yeah, he's not here.
So, should we stop, Mataji?
Yes, Mother.
Thank you.